We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
To sing it and to really mean it and like it and enjoy it. And then there's another thing to just hear what the Holy Spirit also is saying to you. And I think he's saying to all of us that this is a house of miracles. Where you're at, what you've built, your heart, your life, it's a house where he lives, and he's going to do miracles. Your house, your literal house is a house of miracles. Your house here, obviously, is a house of miracles. We come here together. There's something about corporately responding to the Holy Spirit that just is different than responding to the Holy Spirit at home. And I believe miracles will be done. And I think that he's speaking to somebody to come alive. Stop expecting deadness to come. Stop, and it's probably more than just one person. Stop just expecting, oh, it's going to be dead for me. It's going to be, I'm going to lower my standards. I'm going to not expect much because of what I've seen. I know that 2020 was a long time ago, but it's still there. This trauma is still there in 2021, 2022. It's some of, and I'm not saying that that's what it has to do with for you. But God says, don't expect dead. As Pastor Christian said, speak to your soul. Speak from your words. Your words have life. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive, family. Come alive, child. Talking about your child, talking about your kids, talking about different family members. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Their house might not be a house of miracles, but mine is. And the miracles that you do here are going to spill over into their house, because generations can be blessed from me. I believe generations can be blessed. Some of you are going to be healed today of being worried about your kids, or being worried about your parents, or being worried about somebody outside that doesn't, you're not sure where they're at with Jesus. Some of you are going to be healed today of just stagnancy, complacency. Come alive. Come alive, come alive in the name of Jesus. Would you say that in your own words to Jesus? It doesn't have to be real loud out loud, but just to yourself. Just tell him, I need to come alive. I receive whatever you're going to speak to me today. I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak across this room, even to the person who feels, oh, this is not for me. It will not. I am just showing up. I am just signing my thing that I went to church today. No one's just doing that today. You are coming here for a reason, because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. You're going to leave encouraged in Jesus' name. You guys can be seated, and you can even be seated. I'll let you go as well. I think that. The Holy Spirit is already speaking, because that's kind of where we're going today. And I might skip ahead a bit. And I want to show you a slide. Would you put that first slide up? A picture that I see of frozen ground. Oh, not that one. That's a great picture, too. The slide of, it says, no, not that either. It's words that say frozen ground. That's for Rick later. Frozen grounds. I feel like God was speaking. Hey, how perfect. Rick's going somewhere with this. This will be good with the all working together. I feel that lowered standards and expectations of what God can do are, I feel like some of you are seeing your ground as frozen, and you are lowering your expectations of what God can do. And you can take that off and put up the title slide. We're talking about colors. We're talking about the life of Joseph, and all through his life, is all kinds of colorful examples. Listen, that in your, and this is not so that we know about Joseph for a nice Sunday school lesson. This is to you, for you to apply to your life. You are Joseph. You are Josephine, okay? And it shows us colorful examples of how favor came through your opposition. Favor comes through opposition. Joseph, as you probably know, is a type of who Christ is. That Joseph had a dream, he had a vision, kind of like Jesus said, I have come to give life, I have come to proclaim liberty to the captives. I have come to bring sight to the blind. And then what did they do? They took him out and wanted to throw him off a cliff. Joseph was the same. He had a dream, and his brothers didn't like it. They beat him. They sold him for 20 pieces of shekels, 20 pieces of silver to some slave traders who then he ended up getting arrested. He ended up getting sentenced in prison. He ended up, does this sound familiar to anyone that you know in Luke chapter 2 that was born? And then maybe this is out of order, but he was buried in a pit only to be resurrected into the palace one day. This was Joseph. This is why we need to read the Bible. You say, why do I need to read the Bible in 2023? Why should I read Old Testament stories? It all points to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament is about the New Testament, and everything about Revelation is about tomorrow. We need this in our lives. And I think it was on purpose that the author of Genesis took two chapters to talk about, is there anything more important than creation? He took two chapters. But then, for some reason, the Holy Spirit moved over the author of Genesis to write 13 chapters on Joseph. Maybe, just maybe, because he knew that we would need somewhere to go when we feel like, oh, things are hopeless. Oh, things are not as they should. Oh, I'm having opposition. What do I do? Look at Joseph's life. Colors. I don't want you to miss the bigger implications that Christ is mentioned all through this. And we're going to just go right now and look at some of Joseph's life. Come up here, my brother Mario. You're like, what? What am I doing? I'm eating. Come up here. Mario and Adriana are usually in a class teaching, and I don't get to see you very much in here, so I'm going to have you come up, and you're going to do something special. You're going to read the first Bible verse, okay? And then you're going to pray for us. Come stand right up here, and you can look there. You can look over here and act like you haven't memorized, then they won't know, okay? Look at this scripture, 41 and 42. Go ahead.
So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.
Take charge of the stage and read this like, yeah, this is my thing, okay. Go. Then
Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger.
Oh, we're doing this. Okay.
He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck.
Great, thank you. Will you pray that our ears would be open to what God has to say to you? You can put that down. You can take that off the screen. Go ahead, pray.
We bless you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you will open the eyes and the ears of our heart, Lord God, to hear and to be open to hear what you would speak to us, Father God, individually and corporately, living God. We thank you for the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that is moving even now, Lord, over this congregation, yes, and over all the hearts here. Lord, yes, we welcome you into the words of our pastor and into our ears and heart to hear the message that you would be speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Adriana, did you do good? You think you did good? I think you did. Give him a big hand. Oh, yeah. He should have brought his bagel up with him. I'm entitling this message Gold. We're doing colors for all of them. I'm going to call this message Gold. And I'll never forget the days I lived as a kid in Missouri, in Kansas, in South Dakota, and specifically in Missouri. Behind my house was a field of corn and a field of wheat and a field, it would change from season to season. And I'll never forget when the wheat came that we would go out and play in the wheat, fields and fields of gold. And we would make little forts. We would make the farmer really mad. We'd knock down some of the wheat so it was like a little maze, and we'd get down low, and then we'd play with, guns with our friends. And it was so much fun. But I won't forget, and I'm being poetic, but I want to make a point, how the gold field, if you looked across, you would see next to that gold field another gold field and another one and another one and another one and another one. As far as I could see, there was golden fields. And that was kind of the picture that we see in Egypt when Joseph came to have some favor there. This was the picture. Look at verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old. He's wearing the gold chain, right? 30 years old when he entered the service of the man in charge. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence, and he went all through Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. He might as well have been a banker, because there was nothing more valuable than this golden grain that he was putting places. And then here's verse 49. I want you to try to remember this one the most. It says, Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping record because it was beyond measure. The kids group, Cynthia's class, I saw their class message today was called Measure Up. And I just saw that on Measure there. I think it's neat how God just works things. But look at your life as if it was a verse 49 life. Look at verse 49 again. There was so many there was so much quantity of grain that they couldn't even count it. He said, forget it. I'm not even counting it anymore. There was so much. Okay, you can take this off again. Remember I said that I see frozen ground in some of our lives. It doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian. It doesn't even mean that you're not a faithful Christian. It doesn't mean that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. It just does mean that the enemy is at work, and he will find wherever he can to get in. And I feel like he would say to some today, because you use the excuse that, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what's been going on in my life, that it's frozen, and I can't seem to have any sense of standards for the future. I don't have expectation of anything like verse 49, where life could be beyond measure. You see no 7 years of abundance. It says there were 7 years of abundance in Egypt. All you see is frozen ground and still to come. This winter, you see snowstorm upon rainstorm upon hailstorm upon ice storm upon windstorm, and you can't seem to see how God could be orchestrating this. And I want to remind you that we're talking about Joseph here. Joseph was thrown in a pit, then in a prison, then left for dead in the ground. His ground was as frozen as it gets. Listen, for anything fruitful to come out of Joseph's life would seem to be a miracle. For anything fruitful to come out of Joseph's life, it would have to be a miracle. And the Lord told me when speaking this message, and he probably for just reminded me for all the time, that a message can be nice, a message can be sweet, it can be perfectly packaged, it can have the perfect title, it can fit with gold and put things together, and it's nice, but it means nothing unless the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And I'm taking a moment, an awkward moment, to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Joseph's ground was so frozen that it would take a miracle for anything fruitful to come out of it. We could take more time and look at Joseph's past. We already looked at it. And for you, it would take a miracle because of certain things that have happened. You might not call it frozen ground. You might call it trials. You might call it opposition. You might call it doubt, fear. There's another perspective, though, as my good friend, my good brother in the Lord, Jeff Miller, reminds me. Perspective is everything. As he's walking through his Alzheimer's and he's giving God praise every day. And he says, sometimes I think it was on purpose that this happened to me. And I'm like, what? How can you have this attitude? Would it take a miracle for fruitfulness to come out of frozen ground? Or would fruitfulness be the natural progression of how God often works? Would fruitfulness out of frozen ground be the natural progression of how God works? Let me prophesy something to you. You're not a prophet. You can't do that. I don't think I am a prophet, but I do have the ability to prophesy it. It's just simply the word encourage based on the word of God. Let me encourage a brother here today, a young man, an old man, and a young woman, an old woman. There's a 99-year-old lady in the room today. Wow, you thought you were young. She's younger than some of you. If your ground is frozen, and the Holy Spirit is here, not because of anything I do, probably because of Mario's prayer, but because he's here, he cares enough to speak to you. If your ground is frozen, don't expect unfruitfulness. In fact, have you ever considered that God might allow your ground to freeze so he can work? Growing up in Missouri, in Kansas, South Dakota, Rick Davis would understand this. Some of you that have been farmers, coastal people wouldn't understand this. But in the winter season, God allows the ground to freeze, not on accident, but on purpose. Oh, you'll like this. This isn't something I made up. This is truth, and I looked it up just to make sure I was right on with it. Could you put up those four things that happen in frozen ground? Important things happen for the farmer during frozen seasons. Frozen ground kills insects and harmful creatures in the earth. Snow brings needed nitrogen that fertilizes the dirt for the next season. These are my two favorites. Frozen ground, when it thaws out, softens the soil. It also makes it aerates it as well and makes it less dense, so that the roots, so that the seeds, so that the nutrients can get down into that dirt. Can I submit to you today that God allows our ground to be frozen to kill the enemies, some harmful enemies that might be there? Can I submit to you that God allows the frozen ground to fertilize your dirt, to fertilize your spirit? Do you know what fertilizer is? He uses it to fertilize your spirit so that it can be more fruitful. And these are the best. Can I submit to you that your frozen ground has happened? And Jesus used farmer illustrations all the time. I'm not reaching too far to talk about the earth and relate it to the spiritual life. Jesus' favorite illustration was soil. Could I submit to you that Jesus is softening your soil? The Holy Spirit is aerating it, working on it, and making you less dense. Look at the person next to you. Tell him, Nancy. He's making you less dense. And it's never the man saying it to the wife, because men are so sweet and kind. They would never tell a lady that. But ladies are like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. He's making you less dense. You're dense. My son is going his second 2 years to another school, and I filled out his application for FAFSA, and I put the wrong school on the FAFSA, and I called and said, I haven't seen the financial aid come through, and they said, there's nothing here, and then I called another school, and that was it. I am just hoping God makes me less dense. My son is on my mind today, and I'm going to talk about him a bit, and my son Riley, and I was talking to my friend Pat, and she's like, people don't know about your life talk, and I always feel like it's a waste of time, because you want to, you don't want to hear, but I'm going to talk about him a bit in a minute, and so he's on my mind, and I want to just make mention, though, that God is in the refining process always with us. Do you know there's a scripture in Proverbs 17:3 that says, as silver in a crucible and gold in a pan, so our lives are refined by God. For some reason, we think that because God is in our life, you might not even necessarily call yourself a Christian, but you'll believe in God. And we think that believing in God or having God with you causes life not to be refining. Do you know what refining means? It means to put your life in the fire. Gold is not pure gold unless it's refined in the heat. That's how it becomes pure gold. You want your life to glorify God, or you just want your life to do what it's supposed to do? You got to let it be refined. God is in the business of doing that. I think the Holy Spirit's one of his things that he does in our life besides convicting and comforting is he sanctifies. It's a big word. Sanctification, which just not simply means, because it's kind of complicated, but simply it means that he's setting you apart a little day by day. He's slowly making you more like Christ. It's not easy. It's not an easy process. He's refining. He uses seasons to do this. He uses seasons to do this. Greater fruit is coming your way, not in spite of, but because of your winter season. This may not mean anything to you and what I'm going to talk about, but I think maybe it'll hit a chord with your kids or with someone in your family or maybe even you where you're going through. My son Riley, could you put up a picture of him? This is our family, a picture of our family. He's the one in the hat. He never goes without a hat on, and he's smiling. Like, I haven't seen him smile. You can't see the picture very good, but I haven't seen him smile in a Christmas picture, truly, for about 2 or 3 years. And you can put up that other video, and then when it gets done, just take it off. It's just, he loves basketball, and Reagan took this the other day of him. It's a kind of wide, but he's really good at three-pointers. And Riley, about 2.5 years ago, he was at college, and he got he was pulling into the school at Grand Canyon University, and a man came up to him that was kind of crazy with a gun and jumped on his lap in the passenger seat and put a gun to his head for 5 minutes. And I can't imagine what soldiers deal with every day, and I'm not here to compare traumas with other traumas, but this moment was not short-lived. It was 5 minutes long, and the man continually told him, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Get out of the car. I don't know how dumb my son is. He was like, I was way bigger than him. I was going to push him off, and I pushed him off, and he got back on, and he put the gun back to my head, and it didn't bother me. But after this situation happened, and a long story short, I think an angel came because the guy jumped out at one point and ran. And I don't know what he saw, but he was afraid and he ran away. And Riley said it didn't bother him until about a week later, he acted like a different kid. And like I said, I'm not here to compare traumas, but he was fully traumatized by this situation. And never before had I ever seen my son cry. And his soil had softened because every time we talked to him, something would come up where he would begin to cry. And he found himself not wanting to leave his room. He wouldn't get in his car. He wouldn't go to the parking lot. Every time he heard of a shooting in the town, it would trigger something. He went to a psychologist. He took medicine, and he came home, and he wouldn't eat. And now he's kind of used that situation to learn it. He learned to diet. He lost 70 pounds, I think, through that time. And it was just not a good situation. But Riley had always said for his second 2 years of college, he wanted to go to his favorite school, Kansas University. He, as little as Jaden, younger than Jaden, Riley loved Kansas basketball. He loved the Jayhawks. And it was he lived and breathed it. He knows every stat. He knows every play from every game. You name a date, he could tell you what happened. In every play of the game, he could tell you who got fouled. He just knew it. He knew every player. He knew everything about them. And it was a good hobby, I figured, for him. And anyways, he said he wanted to go to KU at some point, and he never did. And he's coming into his second 2 years of college, and we had mentioned it to him, and we didn't know if he would follow through, and he did follow through, and he got accepted to Kansas University, which is like a big deal to him. And to us, he'd be like, big deal, whatever, you know. I mean, maybe to you, but to him, this was a big deal. And during this time, I've watched God work on Riley's life, and I've watched him be more sensitive to Jesus. I've watched him be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I found myself 2 days ago bringing him to college, and I was sitting in the same Emo's Pizza that I sat with him about 2 years ago after this situation happened, where he sat there and cried and cried and cried and said, I don't believe in God. I don't think God is real anymore. Why would he allow cancer? Why would he allow this? Why did he allow me to, the devil wants to kill me. I think God wants to kill me too because of this. I've had a gun pulled on me since, and it was a mess. I'm watching him. I sat in the same Emo's Pizza in the same table, and I talked to him the other night, and he was saying things like, I am so glad God has given me favor. I am so glad that God has blessed me. I am so glad that I see that God's hand was at work in sending me to the school and getting me accepted and giving me financial aid and all this. The cherry on top for him, and this might not seem like a big deal to you, but remember how I said how much he loves basketball. There's a palace at the school. I could call it a palace because it's like a palace. It's a multi-million-dollar building with a basketball court and a movie theater and a rec room and a barbershop and everything that a kid could need for school, because it's made for the basketball team, because the basketball team is the royalty at Kansas University. There's 30 spaces in this place. 18 of them go to the basketball team and then some to the staff. There's maybe 5 or 7, 8 extra spaces for thousands of kids to apply for. He applied, was accepted into this in this situation. She knows how much he loves basketball. So it was just like a dream come true for him. And I said to him, you know that God cares about every detail of your life, and nothing is too hard for God. And he did this. He cried in a good way this time, crying. He said, I know God is on my side. I see him working. That is the example of Joseph kind of going from the pit to the palace. He's like literally in this place. It's awesome. I'll talk to some of you Kansas fans later, but I'm sitting. I helped him. I had to help him get to school, you know, so I had to help him put his stuff in his room and So I'm putting his stuff in his room, and it took me a while, the extra amount of time. Oh, I forgot something down the elevator, so I go down. And in the process of those couple of days, we got to meet every player. And then when I was sitting with them in his room at 10 o'clock one night, just like helping him do some stuff. And I said, I have to go to the restroom. Can I use the restroom downstairs? Not in your room. So I took the elevator. I went down to the second floor, and there was some basketball players in there getting their hair cut. Jalen Wilson was in there, and Zuby was down shooting basket. It was like unreal. And my son got to play. It was just great. And I say all this to say that frozen ground is a breeding ground for God's faithfulness, God's fruitfulness in our life. Expect favor. And my simple word for you is to expect verse 49 to be coming for you. So much blessing that you can't count it. Stop lowering your expectations. God always wants to birth something new. The frozen ground, the pit, the prison, the past are actually proof that golden fields are ahead for you. Oh, well, that's a nice story, Stephen. I appreciate that for you, but for me, no. Apply the word of God to your life. I'm not finished. Let's look at verse 50, because frozen ground is a place where God births. If you're not seeking him, if you're not trusting him, sometimes even when you're not trusting him, it happens. But I would say, stay in faith. You need to make sure your foundation, it might be frozen on top, but make sure your foundation is built on Christ. That's what Joseph did. And after this these years of harvest happened, God birthed something in Joseph, literally. It says, before the years of famine came, because famine came after this. And maybe we'll get to it. Two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah. Is that Potiphar's relation? Priest of On. Two sons were born to Joseph, verse 51. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. God has made me forget all of it. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Can you put up those two, that slide that puts their names on there? Manasseh and Ephraim. We're going to close with this word for all of us. God wants to birth in you a Manasseh. He wants to birth in you an Ephraim. Well, that's too deep. I don't want to go there. Just think with me for a minute. We're basically done. Manasseh meant forget the past trouble. Sometimes there's work that needs to be done so that you can see your blessing. Maybe you want to take a picture of this slide. It's a good one. I'll probably post it on Facebook as well, but forget the past trouble. The word trouble in the Hebrew meant it involved putting to rest abuse. It implied forgiving and forgetting, putting to rest suffering, trauma, and wrongdoing. I'm not here to say, oh, today all you have to do is just put it to rest. Then it'll be gone. Right, Kay? Like, oh, that's easy for you to say. Just put it to rest. But spiritually, I think he's asking you all to do that, all of us. Some part of our life that's causing us to expect less than what God has for you, put it to rest. Manasseh, forget the past tribulation, trouble, conflict, abuse, wrongdoing. It may not have even been your fault. Forget the past suffering. It'll come back, but forget it for a minute. If you want to experience fruitfulness, if you want something to be birthed, forget the past trouble. And then Ephraim. And let me go back to Manasseh. Forgiveness is a big deal. We love to pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive my debts as I forgive those who trespassed against me. But we don't forgive the people that have trespassed against us, and we expect God to forgive us. The gospel says, the New Testament, not the Old Testament, if you aren't willing to forgive others, you might not be forgiven. Read it. Read it for yourself. We must forgive so that we can be forgiven. Maybe there's people you need to forgive. That's your work. That's your homework for this year. You want to see 7 years of fruitfulness? Forgive. All right. Ephraim, embrace the present fruitfulness. Well, that seems easy enough. Your fruitfulness that's coming now is not free. You had past trouble that caused you to be fruitful. You had frozen ground that caused you to be fruitful. Embrace it. Don't run from it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't assume that, oh, hope is deferred from me. God's not going to, the blessing's running after me, and I'm running away from it because I expect something bad to happen, so I can't receive it. Receive the present, Ephraim, blessing, and say amen to that. That's good. We're done. Worship team, would you come forward? As we close today, that's the word for you. Amongst what we said already, embrace it. You know, it's so important that in our embracing of present fruitfulness and forgetting the past trouble, that we base it on Christ. Joseph is a type of Christ. Joseph forgave. Joseph let go of the past. And he experienced getting a gold ring put on his hand and being the banker of all the golden grain in Egypt. Go ahead and play that song. He didn't know Christ at the time. He knew God. But Christ is the foundation. And I want to make a point to you today, and you don't need to stand for this song. You might just want to listen. That snowstorm after snowstorm, rainstorm after rainstorm, windstorm after windstorm, all of that was on purpose, not on accident, on purpose. Not that God made it happen, but he uses the past. He uses all things for his good. I believe that's what that one song said earlier. Because God won't fail you. I want you to listen to this song. Let it minister to your spirit. And do some business with God. And then I'm going to come up and I'm going to close, okay?
Christ is my firm foundation. The rock on which I stand, when everything around me shakes. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me shakes.
Amen.
I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
Yeah. Someone else for a second. You can continue to play, would you? Not about yourself. It's easy. It's easier to pray for someone else than pray for yourself. So I want you to think about someone else for a minute. Someone in your life that maybe like a Riley or like a wayward son or like a whatever that might be. I want you to think about that for a minute and apply that. That he won't fail you. Have you ever considered that? He won't fail you. It may seem like it only could happen. Fruitfulness could only happen through a miracle. He's faithful through generations. He won't let your generation that's in your home, in your house, be left. Would you trust for them? Would you lift them up right now? Maybe if there's someone in your life that needs you want to pray for, you just put them right in your hands and say, God, I give it back to you. I give it to you. It's not my problem. I take it on all the time, and I can't handle it. I pray that they would be in your hands. Lord, that you would do as Christ, just as it was with Christ, that it seemed like nothing would work. There was no hope. Jesus was buried. He was dead and gone. But then on the third day, he was resurrected. And from the pit, he went to the palace to redeem humanity. I pray that you would redeem this situation that people have in their hand. And then yourself. Would you say, whether it's a habit or whether it's a worry or whether it's a fear, whether it's something you've dealt with for a long time, I give it to you and I say thank you for this frozen ground, because I know that you're going to make me less dense. I know that you're going to soften my soil. I know that you've already begun to do that, because I'm sensing the Holy Spirit even right now. And you're speaking to me and you say you love me. The Holy Spirit speaking to you today and say, you're right in the center of my plan. I'm getting ready to promote you. I'm getting ready to place you in a place you would have never thought that you could go, because I've given you favor. Receive it today. We can't move on until you receive it. Say, I receive it. I receive it. We're going to walk out of here with renewed hope. You can look up. We were talking, my son and I, and we were talking about his finances. And he said, I once again got nervous about it. What if I can't pay this year? And I said, God wouldn't take you this far without helping you just to your finances to work out. And Rick, you can come up here. We're getting ready to receive our offering. I'm gonna expect $8 million to be raised today. No, I'm just kidding. And he goes, I don't know how you guys do it. And I'm bragging on something right now, is how God blesses. Because he said, it seems like, because we just had a big car thing with him, and then my car, and then something we are unexpecting with the school, how much it was going to cost. He goes, how are you doing this? Like, we're broke. I'm sure we're getting ready to go under as a family. And how can I trust in God? And I smiled at him, and I didn't say it out of trying to be strong. I said, bro. Yeah, we make a joke about bro. So it's not really, I'm not a bro person, but I said, bro, God's got me. God's got our family. He's been so faithful to us. I am not one bit worried about your finances at school. You need to go to the grocery store, and you need to buy something that you think costs. You do whatever we have. God has never let us down, and he won't now. And then I went into that song, and I began to sing in the Emo's Pizza, and people began to raise their, no. But I have to finish the story, and I'm not going to do any more than just read it. But you know the story, that it said there were 7 years of fruitfulness, but God provided in that, and it's nice to see the fruitfulness, but God provides in the famine too, because this is what it says next. In this narrative, verse 54, when we allow refining, when we allow frozen ground, when we continue to stay in faith, when we continue to sow, we continue to plant, we continue to believe, we continue to work out our salvation, because it's not just like that. Just live. No, you got to work out your salvation, the Bible says, with trembling. Not only will you see blessing, but you will, in the fruit-bearing season, but you will see blessing in other times. And the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said, because he saw it in a dream. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, in a sinful land, because Joseph was there, there was food. Verse 55. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go see Joseph. He's a Christian. He goes the news. No, I'm just kidding. He's a Christian. Do what he tells you. 56. When the famine had spread over the country, Joseph opened up the bank. And grain was everywhere, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And verse 57 says this, and all of the world came to you. All of the world came to Egypt. All the world came to Joseph, because he had figured out that fruitfulness can come not in just good times, but in the bad times. All the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. Let that be your testimony, that in your moment, you're like, well, not me. We'll point on Juanita and Bill. Let all the people come to Juanita. No, he'll come to the one in here. The world will come to the one in here that feels like you're in your greatest need, and you will provide for them, because the Holy Spirit is with you, and you will see fruitfulness, and it'll spill out over it. Amen. Amen. Come up, my brother. You have time. Share what's on your heart. Ushers, would you come forward? Oh, let me help you here.
So I'm here to talk about the offerings and the blessing that we get from that. And the provision. And the provision that we get. We don't always see the effects of that immediately. It can take months. Sometimes we won't even see the effects of our offerings. But about 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago, we had quite a bit of snow out where I live. Did we have those photos? Anyway, sometimes blessings don't even seem like blessings when you're out shoveling that snow.
Switch through the photos.
But it took me 6 hours to get out to the county road that day. But the thing of it is as Pastor said, I raise a few head of cattle, and in 5 or 6 months, the grass is going to turn green.
Amen.
My cows are going to be really happy.
Amen.
And even beyond that, we farmed some land and grow some hay. And the more hay that we raise, the less hay that I have to buy. So what a huge blessing that is. So my prayer today is that you guys would give, and I would even look at Malachi 3:10, and a lot of us have heard that scripture, but I would challenge you to live that scripture out. I've done that in my life, and I just want to read that from the Message. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury, so there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. He'll do it, I can tell you that. Anyway, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for that you bring rain to a thirsty land, Lord. And I just pray that we would continue to thirst for you, Lord, and just give us the faith that we need, Lord, and that the tithes that we give will go for good works, that you don't ever put anything to waste, Lord. I just pray that you would bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
So, ushers, as you pass out, I am going to close. And to close, I want to encourage you guys. And I want to do it with this story. So bear with me. Sorry. If you can't tell by, before I get into that, I love that we've been so intentional about praying for those who are lost, especially family members who need it, who need to have that moment if they're in the pit and they need to get to the palace. I love the intentionality with that. And as I told Pastor just a second ago, I said the stars have a line. And if you couldn't tell, Rick, who just did offering by our rugged good looks, he's my uncle, we're family. And I just want to share a story because he is one of the most faithful people I know. And I haven't thought about this for a long time. That's how I know it's the Holy Spirit. Because I haven't thought about this memory for years. And just thinking about it, today it is one of the strongest displays of church that I've yet to experience. And it's years ago, I was little, we were at the Grace Place. And for whatever reason, his son was there. And he was sitting in one row, and his son was sitting in the row in front of him, directly in front of him. And the pastor at the time, he closes and he ends with the time of just an altar call. You know, if you want to receive Christ or if you want to rededicate your life to Christ, you know, we've all been there, right? And so they start praying, the music starts, and there's just this time of giving people time to do this. And I remember, I don't know why, I'm nosy. So, you know, when the pastor's like, close your eyes, don't look around. I was the kid who would look around. So I'm looking around and I catch my cousin. He's sitting up there and he's kind of doing one of these. Kind of, he's sitting there and he would start to get up and he'd sit back down. And he'd start to get up, sit back down. And then I watched my uncle put his hand on the back of his seat. And he starts to pray. You know, I don't know what he's praying. He's just praying. Back of his son's seat, praying. And all of a sudden, his son went from struggling to shooting upright and walking to the front. So I want to encourage you guys this morning don't grow weary of praying for those who are lost, because it can get tiring, right? It just seems like that pits, the walls are too high. There's no getting out of it. And you pray and you pray and you pray. Lord, why? Where are you? You know, that's where our faith grows the deepest, because we see Christ's face in our struggles, in our crises. So don't grow weary of praying for those who need him. So, Lord, I just thank you for you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are forever faithful, God. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that it is in our crises, it's in our pits, Lord, that we see your face.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.